Amen. Well, we'll get this show on the road, as a fellow says. For the sake of the recording, welcome to Bethel on the 3rd of March 2021. Who would have believed? Was it about a year ago that they started all these shenanigans? Was it in March?
It was just after St. Patrick's
Day. Is that the 18th last year?
17th.
Right. Well, the world might be going crazy, but let's have a bit of sanity. Let's close our eyes and bow our heads. Christy, would you open for us, please, brother, if you would.
Lord, we're thankful today for your good and spot for every good gift that you give us, every blessing you bestow upon us, Lord. We ask and pray for another one that you'd meet with us tonight, that you bless the priest of your word, bless his head, his voice, and presence this evening. We'll be with those that couldn't be here. We pray just for each priest to minister unto their needs, Lord. Pray, Father, for each church, meet together in your name, preach the presence of your word, that you'd be there as well. Bless hearers, Lord, save lost souls, strengthen, Lord, those that are saved already, and draw back those that are backslidden. Accomplish your will amongst us, Lord, please, be with our country's leaders this time, that common sense prevail, we pray and ask. Lord, just pray for peace in Jerusalem, Lord, and that the Jews would get saved as well. Remember, missionaries provide their needs in these times as well. Be close to them, Lord, I'm sure it's difficult being a foreign man, Lord, especially in these times as well. Lord, bless the ministries, we pray. Bless this city, Lord, and the outreach in this. Help us to be a light in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, brother. I was just debating there. There's a new hymn in the Black Book, which we're going to give a shot this evening. But we're going to start in the Red Book. I want to warm us all up a wee bit first. So we're going to begin with... let me see. We're going to begin with... Yep, we're going to begin with 226. 226. 226 in the Big Book. I found a friend. Do we do another hymn that we know for a warm-up, or do we just go straight for the jugular and try number 30 in the wee black book? Warm-up, jugular, Jugular it is. Hymn number 30, I Need Jesus. We'll remain seated for this one. This is a new one, or a relatively new one. I hope maybe Norman or Ling maybe knows it, but I certainly didn't until I had a few practices. But amen, we'll give it a shot today. Hymn number 30. For joining in and indulging Mrs. Bradfield in her quest for more hymns. Norman, if you're fit, would you be okay to come reading for us, brother?
Yep.
Thank you.
This evening's reading is from Isaiah chapter 53. Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form, nor comeliness, And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned everyone to his own way. The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearer is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. And thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. He shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days. And the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hands. He shall see the travel of his soul. He shall be satisfied by his knowledge. Shall my righteous servant justify many? For he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide with a portion the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with our transgressors, and bare the sins of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Amen.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, Norman. We appreciate Steve's suggestion for the reading this morning, this evening even, that it was put to a vote and different verses with fewer old Hebrew names were picked. So thank you, Steve, and I'm sure we'll get to Colossians another day.
He will be that.
Like I said, if it works for you, and if you have one of your own, just you go right ahead. But we'll get there. We'll get there. Just want to remind everybody to make sure they have one of those. And please do continue to pray for the Curry family at this time. I know there's always a wee space left in your heart whenever someone steps off into eternity. But whenever that's a saved soul and being mourned and missed by saved souls, you know you're going to see them again. But many souls don't have that assurance, don't have that promise. Please do pray for the Curry family at this time. And we miss a lot of people this evening. We're missing Frank, of course, but we miss Frank on the long term until he comes back, and then we're glad to see him. Miss Will and Christine. Christine, hopefully the Free Church should be opening again in the very near future. And it's not that we want people to be away, but we want as many churches open as possible, with maybe a few sharpened up preachers standing in them, realizing what's at stake. So please do pray for Christine's church. Pray also for her mom, Mary Ann, very nice lady. She is with Christine and Will at this particular time. She's not quite so steady on her feet, but her mind's still sharp. I'm sure maybe most of you have met Mary Ann at a cup of tea, maybe of a Sunday evening or at some stage, but please do pray for her. And we always, we make mention of the extended family there as well. Please remember William and Rachel and Lily Ann and Aaron, if you would too. We do keep remembering Leonard and of course Esther. And up beside Esther, there's Eddie and Anne. They're part of our CD ministry, and their grandson Mason, please do pray for them. We miss Pat and Steve, And there were a number of, I think there's a Gladys McElhattan too, needs praying for, so please do pray for her. Glad to have Norman fitting well-ish, mostly. He's with us this evening, as you can see. And we're missing John this evening too, so please do pray for him. It used to be a day when this church was full, and sadly many people have made bad decisions. I would love that people left the church. There's very few people. I could count them on the, maybe on one hand with an extra couple of fingers, the number of people that have actually left Bethel and gone on to better things. But sadly, the numbers are very, very, very few. So please do think on them. The Lord knows who they all are. Some of them go so far back, I can't even remember the names of children and people. So please do remember them. Don't forget Stan Up in Bangor. Please pray for the Christian Institute and Kids for Schools. We might be needing the Christian Institute a lot sooner than we think, the way things are going in the world. Please do pray for our country's leaders. Not just when I say our countries, I mean all of the countries in the world. The Lord commands us to pray for them. Please do pray for them. There's one little, I'm going to ask for your prayers still too, for the negotiations for the church land. Please do remember that as well at this time, if you would. It's a great little verse in the scriptures. It depends on you actually reading the scriptures, but it says, always be ready, be instant in season and out of season, always ready to give a reason for the hope that dwells within you. So if you ever get an opportunity, tell somebody about Jesus in these last of the last days. It might be the only chance that they get. I think we've pretty much taken as private prayer requests. I've got names or rings around everybody except for Christine. So that's pretty much everybody in the church. So please do remember to pray for those too. Does anybody have any thanks? Anything that the Lord's done for you that you'd like even to take a moment and tell us about? Or just put your hand up and tell me and I'll write it down here and we can all be thankful for it.
Mm-hmm. Bradley coming back on the 28th of March.
Is he? That's good to know.
Will we be here long?
And then he'll be back for a month and then he'll be back here again.
He didn't buy a return ticket. Oh.
Right.
March.
We'll not be missing him for as long as I thought then. That's good to know. He'll have his results by then too, won't he? That's good. All right, I think that's about that. Is there anything else we need to be thinking on or putting down? Or All right. Well, we'll have a wee word of prayer, and then we will sing another song. Let's close our eyes, folks. Amen. Dear loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, again for the invitation to come into your presence at any time. And I know, Lord, we're not worthy, and if it was based on our merits, Lord, we wouldn't even be able to stand in front of you. But it's based, we're thankful for your Son Christ Jesus and his merits and his labours and his salvation. Thankful for the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, Lord. And we're so thankful for the promise that we can call you Abba Father. And I pray you, Lord, for all of those souls that have been to Bethel and gone. We think on the Lemunyan family, the Borland family, the Ho family, the Edgar family. And we think too on the Robinson family as well, Lord. For Tony and Caitlin, we think on them as well. And I pray you, Lord, that just get a grip of all those that are saved, Lord. Those that have slipped and slid. And give them just that wee shake or a wee jar, Lord. And you know what? Include ourselves in that. And I pray you, Lord, that you would draw them back to you. That you would really, really speak to them about doing the right thing, about looking round and matching that up with prophecies in the scriptures, Lord. I thank you for all the opportunities we've had to minister to folks, and I pray you, Lord, that they would not be forgotten. I know you've said if we cast our bread upon the waters, it'll return to us after many days. And we would love to have more people in the church, Lord, but more than that, we'd love to have more people in heaven. Please do, Lord, I pray you. Work in people's hearts and minds. I do indeed thank you, Father, for this opportunity to serve, and for this time that we've set aside for the collection of hymns, Lord, and people have gone to great lengths to gather these old songs together. And I pray, Father, that you would find our prayers and our praises acceptable in your sight. For your word, Lord, and we know that it's not just your blood that was spilled, Lord, to preserve this word, but the blood of many of your children. I pray, Father, please, that we would consider this book very, very carefully and treat it appropriately. Just, Lord, want to pull out a few names, especially those ones that we minister to every week, Lord, through the CDs. I think on Stephen and Anne Marie and their family situation with their dad. Please save souls there. For Carol and Harry and Marie, Lord, at the end of the road in the bungalow, please, Lord, I pray for salvation and comfort. For Norman and Joan, Lord, for Jane and Corey, for Henry and Evelyn, Lord, for Alan Leslie, very especially, Lord, at this time for Pearl Hetherington. Just thank you for opportunities to serve, and for all of those, especially Maslam and Georgina, Lord, that would like to be here, Pat and Steve too. I pray, Lord, your good hand upon them. For our missionaries, for the organizations that the church supports, for all those, Lord, that we love and care for, that we just want the best for mothers and fathers, for husbands and wives, for sons and daughters, for those that are intended, Lord, I pray you please your good hand. I pray for our country's leaders, for Boris Johnson, Nicola Sturgeon, for Arlene Foster, for Mark something or other wait. I pray you, Lord, for America and for China, for Russia, for Australia, Japan, for Africa, for Europe, Lord, for South America, for Canada. Lord, there are so many people that are involved in so much wickedness, Lord. I pray, please, that you would put your hand on them and restrain them even now. This is what it's going to be like whenever you're about, Lord, and the Holy Spirit's still working in people's hearts and minds. What's it going to be like whenever we're gone? Lord, I know there's still a job for us to do. We're still here. I pray for opportunities. And Lord, for all the tracts and Bibles and all the words that have gone from this church and all the other churches, Lord, in the years prior to last year, I pray, please, Lord, that you would use those to shift people out of the ruts that they get so easily into and point them to you. Thank you for loving us, Lord, and thank you for the freedoms that we still have to meet together and to worship and praise you. And I pray, Lord, your good hand upon this time. Please use it, Lord. Please be one of our number. Bless Brother Stan and Sister Karen. Pray very specially for Jade at this time. Pray too for Mark and Jeremiah and Samuel and Faith, for Gareth and Gail, Lord, and their children, for all the Stuarts and their families up in Bangor too, for James and Jake, Lord. There are just so many. Please save souls. Please, Lord, edify the saints. And Lord, we ask all this on our private prayer requests. And Lord, thank you so much for loving us and taking the time with us. And we ask it according to your will. Amen. Amen. All right. Take our big fat hymn books, if you would, and turn to hymn number 51. If you're able, we'll stand as we sing, where we'll never grow old. Hymn number 51.
Never grow old in a land where we
you may be seated. You can put your hymn books away this evening and take your Bibles out if you would and turn to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. It's good, goodness, how many people and many saved souls around even just this country, one of the most conservative in the world, would ever think they would ever see the day when they said, I wish I could go to church. So many people have had so many opportunities. It's a little bit like whenever we would have visitors coming to Bethel, we would take the opportunity to walk around the walls or to go to the city museum or take them up to see Dunluce Castle on the other side of the province. But to be quite honest with you, they were always there, and I never bothered going up to look at those things for myself. Take them for granted. But whenever they're not there, you think, I missed something. And so many people, I am sure, feel a little bit like that at this particular time. So it may not feel like it, and you might be thinking, oh, better grit my teeth and take a Dramamine here, for the ride's going to be a rough one. The preacher's preaching again tonight. But I hope it's not that bad on you. I want to speak on the subject of what's left. And we're speaking from John chapter 10. And we're going to begin reading at verse number 22, right the way through to verse number 38. And it was at Jerusalem, the feast of the dedication, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Now Jesus answered them, I told you, and you believed not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because you're not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, they shall never perish, and neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. And Jesus answered them, Many good works have I shown you from my Father. For which of these works do you stone me? And the Jews answered him, saying, For a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, because thou, being a man, makest thyself God. And Jesus answered them, Is it not written in your law, I said, you're gods? If he called them gods unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, say ye of him whom the Father hath sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemest, because I said I am the Son of God? If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though ye believe not me, believe the works, that ye may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. Amen. So speaking on the subject of what's left, verses 27 through 30 are to be our text. If you're here any length of time in Desmond, you're going to hear many messages from these particular parts of God's Word. Many different messages. But tonight we're speaking on the subject of what's left. So let's have another wee word of prayer and then we will continue. Christy, would you lead us again, if you would, brother?
Lord, we're thankful again for the Lord, just the ability to come into your presence, Lord, whatever time and whatever place. We thank you, Lord, for the privilege of prayer and for this privilege is our Lord to come and gather around your word to get preaching over as well. We ask a special touch on the preacher. Lord, that you would grant all the wisdom needed, Lord, all the thoughts, Lord, the words, just clear all the decks of worry, Lord, the decks of burdens, we pray, from the mind, from the heart. This hour, Lord, and just speak plainly through him. I pray and pray that you provide all that he needs, Lord, so that you would feed him and Lord, he would feed your sheep. Help us, Lord, give us discernment this evening, Lord. Just guide us in your word as well, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. We're speaking on the subject of what's left, and I love these verses. These verses literally They're the second bunch of Bible verses that changed my life after I got saved. And this is where the Lord says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, and neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. It is the simplest and plainest scriptural statement that tells the believer that once you're saved, you are always saved. God the Father and God the Son. God the Father keeps you in the palm of his hand. God the Son keeps you in the palm of his hand. And the Word of God says, no man can pluck you out. And that even includes the devil himself, who is referred to as a man in Isaiah, I think it's Isaiah 14, where it talks about, is this the man that caused nations to tremble? No man, not you, not anybody else, no situation, not even the devil. The angels want you there. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit have worked to put you and keep you there. No man can pluck you out. It always reminds me of Noah's Ark, which was built according to God's plan, and then it was pitched on the outside. So the wood and the pitch on the outside kept the people safe on the inside, but the pitch on the inside kept the people safe even from themselves. They were sealed from any spillages or anything like that. We have, as we look here, we have Jesus trying to reach lost souls that just would not put the pieces together in their heads that pointed to him as God. And they got bent out of shape because he quoted them a verse of Psalms. Let me just look at Psalm 82, 6, where it says, ye are gods. And he quoted this. But they just got bent out of shape. Even if, and when Jesus cast demons out and made people to walk and to talk and to see and to hear and even grow back limbs, things that even one of the scribes and the Pharisees stated that nobody had ever done before, had given sight back to one that had been born blind. Surely this must be the Son of God. They still wouldn't believe. So we're not talking about people that were stupid. We were talking about people that were just opposing God. They got bent out of shape all the time because he freed people from disease and spiritual oppression and possession on the Sabbath day. And he said, you know what? Words are cheap. Did you ever hear the old saying that talk is cheap? Back in the day, they used to say, unless, of course, you had a mobile phone, in which case it was like 25p a minute back in the day, and maybe even more, when talk used to not be cheap and messages used to be a lot shorter. But it says actions speak louder than words, and that's exactly what Jesus says here. If you don't believe the words that I'm speaking, at least look at the things that have been done, things which can't be refuted, things which you can't deny. Remember all the miracles that I have done, even to the forgiven of sins. Do you remember even a couple of times he said, your sins are forgiven you, and they said, well, who can forgive sins but God only? And then he said, arise, take up your bed and walk. And no matter what way they tried to oppose him, he had the answer. And the answer is, it's not was, it is, that Jesus is the Son of God. Now these verses made a great difference to me because even as a saved soul, there was a part of me, and it was probably just bad old religious teaching, was thinking that if I ever did something wrong that was against what the Bible says, that somehow God would get angry with me and throw me away. And that was back before I knew that the Word of God promises that He'll never leave us and He'll never forsake us and He'll never cast us away. He keeps us in there no matter even what we do. These verses literally stopped me from living a Christian life, a fearful Christian life of always trying to please God, to understanding that God loves me and I'm saved no matter what. And I started doing the things for Jesus because I loved Him for what He had done for me. I'm sealed forever to the day of redemption by the Holy Spirit because a God loved me. The God loved me and sent His Son to give His life on the cross for me. And even should I become disillusioned with the state of people's hearts and minds and tear my hair out and throw my hands up and roll my eyes and walk away thinking, those ungrateful beings, I'm never going to be a Christian again. I am still saved because I'm a man and I can't pluck myself out of the hands of God. So there's no place, activity, sin or person, and not even all the devices of the devil and his minions can ever break that relationship. However, the fellowship is the bit sometimes that leaves a wee bit to be won. You can believe it. It makes the whole difference in the way you look at life and you come to church and you serve the King of Kings. I know there's a lot of people in churches that go to church grinding their teeth. Oh, I have to be here. Oh, I'm going to have to turn up and I'm going to have to put on my good clothes. And I just don't feel comfortable when I'm in my shirt and my tie and my shiny shoes. And they grind their teeth through the sermon and they sing a song and they throw some money grudgingly into the plate. And they're afraid because they're afraid of God punishing them. But for a soul that loves the Lord and realizes what He's done for them and what He's still doing for them, they do those things because they're glad and because they love Him. Now, we spent a few minutes on my favourite verses saying about the things that you can't lose, basically your salvation. Here's another few things you can't lose, and maybe going over one or two. You can't lose your soul anymore because God's looking after it. Anything that depends on that, your home in heaven, you can't lose it because God's looking after that too. And you and a glorified body, God is looking after that as well. Sinless perfection, whenever you're not bothered by any wicked thoughts or selfish thoughts anymore, that's taken care of and that's coming. The company of God Almighty face to face, instead of living by faith, we will be able to, or not, you know what I mean, we'll be able to see God face to face with our own eyes. We'll be able to see Jesus, the Holy Spirit. The angels that ministered to us, and I'm sure a lot of them will be rolling their eyes, and all the saved of every age of man, we'll be able to see them face to face, no matter what, we still have our free will. No matter what the lips say, we still have the free rein in our hearts and minds. There's a few things that you can't lose. Here's a few things you can lose. You can lose your youth. I come in here as a fresh-faced 33-year-old in the prime of my life. And now I'm a fresh-faced 55-year-old, one organ shorter and a few years older and wiser and so on. You can lose your vitality. You can lose your vim and vigor. You can even lose your sense of humor, although it gets plenty of exercise in Bethel. You can lose your good looks. Thankfully, I'm still not doing that too badly there. Everybody else has found their sense of humour. You can lose your friends and family. Who would have thought, but you can lose your job and your home and all your money, and many have recently. Even in this country, you can lose your freedom. The freedom to walk around your house, your own town, to buy little treats and luxuries. The freedom to meet up with your friends. I said that wrong, didn't I? Many have lost the freedom to meet up with their friends. Even to shake hands, they're fearful of. It's what Monica was, she mentioned to me earlier on about the way they're advocating treating little children with this bad flu. They say keep them on their own and don't touch them or don't have anything to do with them and keep them locked in their room. And that's just not the way people work, especially not little people. Goodness, people are even losing the fellowship of their church family as churches close. Could soon be missing or losing their freedom of speech. In America, they're even talking about the right to bear arms, the very thing that keeps governments like they have right now in check. Because nobody's going to send a bunch of guys in vans around with guns to arrest people who have more guns than them and completely outnumber and surround them. We've lost the freedom to go out to the pub. Not that any saved soul should be. Or a nightclub. Or a cinema. Or a theatre. Or even out to a restaurant just to have a dinner where mum doesn't have to do all the cooking and washing and setting up and putting away. And sadly, even visits to the hospital are pretty much prohibited now as well. Visits that mean a world of difference to those that are ill. We could lose our peace of mind. That fear of that invisible enemy that can creep under doors and past locks and around guard dogs. And then just whenever we're getting to the point where we can manage it, we lose that again as some new threat comes up. And the fear of a bad flu has taken about as many lives in around the world, that bad flu, as there are people in Northern Ireland. There's only a 2+ million in Northern Ireland, and there's about 2.5 million souls stepped off into eternity with everything that's been going on. But with all of those things, what's left for folks? What is left in this world for people to cling to? And I hope you'll see where I'm going, because Christian, God is always clinging to you. But to what do you cling? Divorce rates rising steadily. People are losing their marriages. Abuse rates. People are losing their families. They're going through the roof. The general good behavior of people has declined. Morals and manners are disappearing. And we have lost confidence and those that we elected, in quotes, to run our countries. We're locked in prisons, I mean our own homes, with nothing but a very biased TV and internet to keep us company and to keep us shut up. And I think people are finally figuring out that social networks are just not all they're cracked up to be, and it's hard to beat a cup of tea in somebody's living room. Recently, as you know, I wasn't well. And even though Monica was a great help to me during that time, it was my thoughts and standing with God that gave me the peace in my heart and mind. And it was the love of God in my heart that God provided. So that even with many afternoons void of company and in reasonably good health, time with the Lord, peace, not just about my health, but even about the current situation, and some conversation about all the folks that are here and the rest of the ones that aren't here, with Jesus as I was walking up and down that road, were the things that were keeping me right. Do you remember, I know I've mentioned them quite a lot of late, but does anyone remember whenever Elijah was running from Jezebel? And she said, all those priests you killed, you'll be like them tomorrow if I get my hands on you. And he ran into the desert and he collapsed exhausted. And God prepared him a couple of wee cakes and a couple of cruises of water. And I liked the bit about where he said the angel smote him on the side. You can just see the angel clouting Elijah. Elijah, wake up, beat that down your neck and let's get going. And on the strength of those two wee meals, he went 40 days and 40 nights into the depths of the desert. Whenever you lean upon God for your sustenance, and I'm not talking about the food, there's no shortage of food. I'm talking about spiritual sustenance, the thing which so many people have neglected, including saved souls, that whenever things have been taken away, I'm not saying whenever, now that things, all these things have been taken away, they find their lives aren't worth living. I think Norman was saying there about they pulled a body out of the water, out by St. Johnston. Someone for whom everything had been stripped away. The thing about it is that many of us have not cultivated time with the Lord. And I'm talking about Christians here. We turn up in church, okay, sometimes under duress. Don't be turning up to impress me. I will certainly be disappointed if you don't turn up. It makes it a wee bit harder to preach to an emptier church, but don't forget I have at least 3 or 4 months practice of preaching to an empty church. You'll not stop me, but the tour one, Mrs. Bradfield. Sometimes a lot of people are bringing Bibles that weren't open since the last time they were in church. And they sing hymns that are very, very, very far from their minds during the week. And mourn the loss of their tithes and offerings until the next payday. The prayers are a grind. And if someone speaks for more than 20 seconds, does anyone remember their first prayer? I remember my first prayer. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. That was my first prayer, and a lot of people think that if your prayer goes on for more than 15 seconds, you're being overly talkative. I want to tell you something, friends. There's a lot of stuff needs talked about to God. If it's on your mind and bothering you at all, you need to be talking to the Lord about it. Even if it's only about your lockdown, your lack of hobbies, your lack of conversation and carry on. Even in Christian households, many know Christ as Savior, but and they have the Holy Spirit as the friend that sticks closer than a brother, but they don't know God as Abba Father. They know Him as God the Father that sent His Son to give His life on the cross for whosoever will, and they're one of the whosoever will, but they don't know Jesus Christ as Lord either. They only know Him to shout things at Him, God! Give me my daily bread and thank you and I'll talk to you later. That's the way a lot of us pray to God. It's almost like we're standing at the entryway to the hall of heaven, to the throne room, and we just say, Lord, I've got a few things I want to bring to your attention. Does anyone remember Barry McGuigan, the boxer? And I want to thank Barney Eastwood, and I want to thank my mummy and my daddy, and I want to thank my brother, and I want to thank my trainer, and I want to thank the people that brushed the ring, and I want to thank my bank manager, and he would go through and he would just have a list of all the people he wanted. And that's not the way God wants for us to be, just running through a list one after the other of all the things we have in our minds. It's not just about our daily bread. It's about Christ's soon return. It's about to Him. Thine be the power, the glory and the honour forever and ever. Amen. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. There's a lot of that in it as well. And that kingdom needs souls. And souls are only going to get there when you know your Bible and are prepared to speak about it. It's all very good calling out names to God in heaven. Sometimes God in heaven calls out names to us. Sometimes He says, do you know what? Maybe Ling needs a wee prayer. Maybe Frank away over there in London with only a couple of people to lean upon needs a wee prayer. Maybe Leonard, not knowing anything, maybe his helpers need a wee bit of prayer. Maybe Will does. Pat and Steve certainly do. Esther, John. I certainly do, and I still covet your prayers for my health. Keep them coming. When the world takes everything which it has, even in these civilized parts of the world. What's left in your life? Anything that you like to do in this world, the world can take away from you like that. Anything. Want to watch the TV? Do you know many households in the middle of winter in America are suffering power cuts right now? Gone just like that. No point in having the latest computer or the newest phone if you can't charge the thing. What point is there? Anything that you can lay your hands upon, any place that you can turn up at, can be whipped away. Maybe not in an instant, maybe by inches. And before you know it, you're standing there empty-handed, empty-minded, empty-hearted. And so many saved souls are in that same boat. And we need to do a bit of cultivating of our relationship, of our fellowship with God. I remember speaking to a man one time who was suddenly confined to quarters for a bit, and I said to him, you need to make a friend of books. You need to make, more importantly, a friend of God. Because no matter where you are or what you're doing, a whispered prayer can be heard from your lips in God's kingdom. We need to lean upon God. What is it? Is it the psalm that says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him and he will direct your paths. What's left when your health is gone? When your home is gone? I'm going to tell you right here and now. Lying in hospital, I wasn't worrying about where my wife was. I wasn't worrying about my bank account balance. I wasn't worrying about anything like that. Just how I would meet God. That was the only thing that was on my mind. Even though Monica was doing all the admin and coming in and arguing my corner with the consultants every day, I couldn't even think about it. But even that was unimportant to me. The most important thing to me was God, because he holds me in the palm of his hand, and no man can pluck me out, not even my own stupid self. I want to close with a few thoughts. It's good to know that you as a Christian are kept by God, and you have that opportunity to explore the whole world with your eyes closed in the presence of the King of Kings. To call out the names of people that you've maybe never met or only heard about. To call out the names of those you know very well. On this side of the world, on the far side of the world, to call out the names of people that you've only heard mentioned on a TV program or a radio program that you will never meet. It's great to have that. It's great to be able to talk about the brethren in a good way to God. But think for a moment what souls that don't have that. What shape are they in? We know that the suicide rate is up through the roof because so many people have found out that all the things they put their faith in don't amount to anything, and they don't have anything. When those are taken away, their lives are empty. And if your life is empty, what's the point in going on? So what's left for the Christian to do? Whenever you have heard this wonderful preaching, no smiles this time. So it obviously was a true statement. Whenever you've sung these wonderful hymns, whenever people's names have been lifted up in the presence of God, wherever two or three are gathered together, he is there in the midst. He has heard the names that were called out in prayer, the circumstances that we've committed to him. We have all those things. But for those souls that don't know Jesus, what is there? I'm afraid the only thing that there is left is a lifeline. We're going to sing that, throw out the lifeline. That'll be our closing hymn. There's only the lifeline. And there's no government that has it. There's no school or security forces or health service that has it. It's you, friend. You are the lifeline. And it is up to you to show them that there is something left whenever the world, the flesh and the devil have stolen everything else away. It is so important. You are important. You're loved by God. He loved you so much, he gave his son on the cross of Calvary to pay for your sins. He gave you the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and every one of the blessings and promises that is in the Bible is made to you and to me. And if we will turn up at the foot of the cross, he will deliver. Because God cannot and will not lie. He is a good dad that wants to give us all good things. So don't be a bit backwards about telling people about Jesus. Show them that there is something so much better than any piece of worldly entertainment or trivia that the world can supply. Whenever the world takes everything away, the thing that's left is the most important thing in the world. For the Christian, that is God. Amen. We're stopping there. Thank you for your good time. God bless you. What number is that? 370. 370. Is it in the music machine? I'll just know that in a second. 370, if you're able, we'll stand as we sing Throughout the Lifeline. Yeah, we got it. 370, Throughout the Lifeline.
Throw out the lifeline, throw out
thank you for your good time. God bless you. Let's close our eyes and we'll be dismissed with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for your presence and the promise of it, for your word and the preservation of it, and Lord, for your people and their company and fellowship today. Bless us as we part company and go our separate ways, our time of fellowship, and Lord, we just pray most of all that your will be done. Please save lost souls, Lord. Please open their eyes to their very real needs. We love you and praise you, Father. Thank you for your Son, for the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and for the most noble of purposes. We ask all these things, Lord, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and according to your will. Amen. Amen, folks. We're dismissed. God bless you. Tap toes, tap elbows, butt fists, all that good stuff. Amen.